Guess what, y'all? I did it! I'm absolutely throwing confetti at myself right now. I should probably record these on YouTube. Oh, friends, I did it. I'm not going to cry during this podcast, I think. I finally did 75 hard. Oh my God. And the crazy part is this is the 75th episode of my podcast. Did I time it perfectly on purpose? Yes and no. No, I did not actually time it perfectly on purpose. It happened to be right around the same time, which is why you haven't heard me in the last 2 weeks, because I've been saving this episode to share with you that I did it. And I knew it was going to happen, and I didn't have a backup episode to put out just in case I failed, because she wasn't failing. This is how I roll now. I do hard things. I achieve my goals. I keep promises to myself. And this is doing this 75 hard challenge is one that was hard as shit. Because there were so many variables within this challenge. I'll get into the deets. But first, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Own Your Awesome podcast. I'm your host, Miranda Von Fricken. Clearly, I'm excited about this episode. I am celebrating myself. Oh, yeah, I got to tell you how I'm celebrating. Oh, my God. How did I forget that? I got to write that down. How I'm celebrating. So, as most of you know, I do these podcasts like live. I record in a very janky way. It's like a Voxer for me. But they're still packed, chock full of nuts, of wisdom and gold nuggets and awesomeness. And if I remember something, I gotta write it down in real time, because I do have some notes here, but I mostly just riff because that's how I roll. All right. 75 hard. Let me give you the backstory. I tell a lot about it actually in episodes 67 and 66. I will put those in the show notes. 66 is like the goal is sexy, but the work, that's another story. I talk about like being obsessed with the actual process. 67, I talk about keeping promises to myself and to how women, we promise, and I'll talk about this later a little bit more too, because like this is the biggest lesson I've learned for myself, is that we will make promises to other people often, our partners, our children, our coworkers, our, you know, teams, our clients. But how often are we keeping promises to ourselves? I'm going to have to like Google a stat or something. I did not already, obviously, but there's got to be a number somewhere about women who keep their promises to themselves. I wonder if I put one in episode 67. You'll have to listen to find out. But let me give you the backstory. Okay. So I talked about 75 hard, a lot about it, I think in 67. This is my 15th time attempting 75 hard since 2021. It's been 4 years, people. Like, this was no small feat. And I don't think I've ever heard anyone be a one and done. If you've done it before, please DM me. I swear I'm starting a club for women who finish 75 hard. The one and dones, you're just built different. And I get it though. Like, I get it, because there was so much mind fuckery between 2021 and 2025. Every time I did this challenge, whether I wasn't ready for it, whether like things were crazy, the timing, the season. I'm in upstate New York, so the rain, the snow, the extreme heat, blah, blah, blah. Excuses, right? All BS. But there are so many things. When I started it in 2021, I remember, I think we just dropped my kid off of at college. I remember laying in the hotel, and it was parents' weekend, and I looked okay in my outfit. I wasn't feeling fabulous, but I wasn't like my heaviest by any stretch of the imagination. Actually, I think I had just lost a little bit of weight and wanted to continue the process and like get buff. You know me and my ab. I just want that one ab. I think I have one. I think I actually got the ab. But I remember laying in the hotel bed, and I don't know if something came up on Insta or whatever, but I saw the podcast episode, and I think I listened to it in bed. Andy Fusillo's podcast episode about 75 Hard, or maybe I just watched. There was a blonde woman on Instagram who was doing it, and I followed her. And so I don't think I listened to the podcast that day, but I bought the book. Like right there in bed, I was like, F this, I'm doing it. When I go home, whether I have the book or not, like I'm starting Monday, blah, 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 whatever. And I am one of those people that like buy all the accessories. I'm like full in my commitment. If I can spend money, I'm in. Like, right? Like, so that's my commitment. Like I'm spending money, I'm doing the thing. And my thought is if you spend a little bit of money, you're probably going to be more committed to it, right? Like I've heard that many times in business and, you know, weight loss, whatever. So I bought the book. I downloaded the app. I think I got his podcast queued up and ready to go. And I was just like, I'm doing it. I told my husband, he was like, oh, I'll do it with you. And I'm like, okay, cool. I got like an accountability partner. Like my husband's a big gym buff. So I figured it'd be easy for him. It'd be harder for me because I wasn't like a workout all day, every day kind of person, right? I'm like a 4 days a week, like get my steps in, you know, that kind of person. But I was like, screw this. Like I need to do it, right? So I ended up like starting, and I think I got, it was 2021. Was it post pandemic? I think it was like, people are still wearing masks, right? If I recall correctly. But yeah, because pandemic, my kid was still in high school. So we were kind of probably out and about because I think we went to lunch with people. I think there may have been a mask around involved, whatever. I digress. The details may be foggy because it was so long ago. But anyway, so I tried it and I think I got COVID, actually, is what happened around day like 27, whatever. I started getting symptoms. I felt like ass. And so my husband kept going and I eventually stopped because there was like 2 days of where I did like my indoor workout was like walking in a circle in my house. Like I was dead. I was like, this doesn't even count. This can't count. This absolutely can't count. So I just said, screw it. I was done. And I was like, oh, that sucked. I kind of did a lot of work, whatever. From that point forward, I had tried it 13 more times. And it was like, sometimes, like some of these times, I got to day one and just was like, I'm good. I forgot the pitcher. Or, oh, I didn't drink the water. You know, so there's a lot of like stop and goes. And at one point, I remember a friend of mine locally who owned a gym at the time was like, it's so masculine. It's not good for your body. Don't do it. Like, it's going to mess you up even more. Like, it's really just don't do it, blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, all right, I bought into that. She's right. It's a little too much for me. I think at one point too, when I got in, because I got pretty far in one of these challenges and I don't remember what made me stop the second time or like in the middle. I'm sure it had to do with like, I was busy or I got home late or something and I was just like forcing it. You could tell when you're forcing something, it's not the time for it. So I was just like, whatever. And I remember putting it on Instagram because I was posting every day about it. Like every time I'd screenshot the app thing that checked the day off and I'd be like, you know, day 17, done, whatever. And I remember thinking like, this is a force. Like this is, you're right. This is hyper masculine. And I remember taking a stand. I'm never doing this again because it's too aggressive on my joints. I want to be able to like do, I want to listen to my body, right? Like I want to listen to my body. But guess what? That was another excuse. It was just such bullshit. And I'm not, listen, if you've tried it and stopped it because of any of these things I'm saying, listen to your body. Like your body knows. And my body knew back then that it just wasn't for me. It wasn't until fast forward 2025. I already had lost 40 pounds last year. And so my body's a little bit smaller. So I can, my joints didn't hurt as much. I felt a little better. But I had gained about like 16 of it back over the winter. I am such a fast rebounder. Oh, I lost that weight. I'll find it. Like blink my eyes, I'm 10 pounds up. You know what I mean? Like, it was crazy. And it was winter and blah, 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 life. And so I, this time around, it felt different. And I explained that, I think, in episode 66. It just felt different this time. And so the backstory is I've tried it 14 times and failed. And sometimes I gave myself grace. Sometimes I didn't give a fuck. Sometimes I did the thing anyway. And sometimes I had excuses. And sometimes I felt guilty and shameful. And so I took a big break. There was probably a full year I didn't do it at all. And for some reason, though, it kept rearing its freaking head in my mind. Like, the idea of 75 hard, and it's not because it was something I couldn't do, so I was like, I don't fail. No, I don't give a shit. There's shit I can't do left and right, and I don't give a shit, and I move on from it, right? Like, I realize I'm not jumping out of a plane. That's cool. Next. You know what I mean? Like, so it wasn't like an ego thing. It was just calling to me over and over. And this time around, I'm in a mastermind, and like, you know, I host masterminds. I'm also a part of one myself. And I said to the women in the group, I think I'm going to do it this time. I said to my daughter, how many days do you think I'll make it this time? And she's like, I don't know. What do you think? And I was like, probably like three. And I did it one day and I ended it. And I was like, motherfucker. So I started again. And you know what it was? It was around my birth. So that was like probably like that episode. That was probably the 13th and 14th time. It was recently. It was like really close to this. I took the girl. So my coach in the mastermind was like, I want you to think really hard. Why this time? Why you still want it? Why it keeps coming up for you? This is why coaches are so important. This is why accountability buddies, more than your friends. So this coach of mine is my friend, but there are times throughout the week she acts more than a friend. She locks into coach mode. And this is why we work with coaches, right? This is why we have coaches. This is why coaches make sure that the thing we want to do is no longer, it's not an option to quit, because they get to the root of the why, the root cause of the obstacles. They were just things she pulled out of me this time around. And I do the same thing for my clients. My individual clients will tell you the same thing. I call them out all the time. I pull out their truths. They shit themselves and then they do the thing. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I do it for my people all the time. And so for it to, and this is the first time like a coach really got into it with me. I've had good coaches. I've had not so good coaches. I've had great business coaches that move my business forward, but not my mind or my spirit. This one kind of does all three for me, and that's, I loved it. So anyway, love you, Jess, smooches. But the girls, it wasn't just my coach, it was the women around me. There was multiple women in this mastermind, and each one of them were cheering for me and were helping me work through this and figuring out if it was really my time, because they knew it was something I wanted and I was going to do eventually. And it wasn't until I talked to my coach privately and said, I'm going to do it. I need to find a way to make it get it done. And so we compared it to me writing my book. When you wrote your book, what changed this time and made you finish that book? I said, when somebody told me it's done already, and I've said this multiple times in my podcasts, like this phrase, it was a friend of mine, Marcella, I love you, girl, like said this one phrase to me, and I've been using it ever since. And it changes the big things for me. Sometimes the little things too, but when I really want to pull out the big guns, I say this phrase for whatever the goal is, it's already done. I've already done it in a different timeline, in a parallel world, in the future world, the future, it's already done. And I couple that with my saying that if it's on your heart, it's for you. It's on your heart for a reason. God wants this for you, or he would have taken it away. Like, God did not want me to invent Spanx because he gave it to Sarah Blakely. I invented Spanx in high school. So did every other woman listening to this who ever cut the feet off their pantyhose to look skinnier in pants. But it wasn't for me. It was for her. So he took it away. And then the idea, that was that. Me writing Own Your Awesome on LinkedIn, making it a series, trademarking the brand, it was mine. It was 100% mine. It was already done. And so it never left my heart, just like 75 Hard never left my mind, never left my heart. I want 75 Hard. And so we called it 75 Done. And it changed from that moment forward. And I talk about that in an episode 67 and 66. And so I think that's why it felt different this time, because I knew it was already done. There's a couple things that I did, and I'll share the stories and I'll share some of the lessons, of course, why it was different. But that was it. It was making sure I had a group of supportive women behind me, one of them being a coach, the rest of them just being support. I did tell some other people, but I didn't tell everybody. And I'll get to that in a minute. Let me just stay on track with my notes or I'll just ramble. So I wanted to do 75 Hard for the discipline. It wasn't for the weight loss. I actually said to myself, it's okay if you don't lose a pound. I knew my body was going to change because I'd be working out twice a day, right? If you don't know what 75 Hard is, I'll give you a 2-second overview. It is a discipline challenge. It is a mental toughness challenge. It is specifically for you to learn to be disciplined. It is self-leadership, and that is what I'm all about, self-leadership. And the one thing I felt lacking in my own leadership was not so much the mental toughness, but more the physical toughness and connection to the mental toughness. So I can do hard things. I trust myself. I'm amazing. I know that. I toot my own horn, toot toot baby, all the time. I have no shame against that with whatsoever. I'm very confident. But I wasn't so much in the two goals I've always had for myself: to get an ab and to make $1 million, right? So I had to start with the abs because I need, I'm being silly. It's about getting in shape, getting back to my athletic physical body. And that meant more than just working out. That meant seeing a functional nutritionist, a functional medicine doctor, figuring out what my body wants, what it does not want. So I think I dove into all the details, but maybe I'll give them to you here too. But I didn't want this to be a 10-hour long podcast. Maybe it'll be a 2-parter. Nah, it won't be. I'll get it all in. I had to do the learning part for myself. So discipline. I wanted discipline. When it came down to it, my why was to get mentally tough and no more excuses when it came to my physical health. So I took a bunch of blood tests and I had some issues. I was in stage 3 adrenal fatigue. I have high cortisol, high estrogen, high testosterone. Everything was high. I've already have a thyroid condition, so I take medicine for that. But when I lost the 40 pounds, I went from hypo to hyperthyroid, but I still wasn't losing weight. But I was experiencing hair loss from being over-medicated on my thyroid medication. I don't even know if I did a podcast about this. Maybe I will in the future. I was in the hospital last year, thinking I was having a heart attack. I had to wear a heart monitor for a week. They diagnosed me with atrial fibrillation, AFib. But they misdiagnosed me at the hospital. So I went to the cardiologist. They said, I did all the other tests. This is ridiculous. You're totally fine. Cut the shit. Not one person realized I was over-medicated on the generic Synthroid until I went to my functional medicine doctor. Now, I don't blame the endocrinologist who put me on this medication whatsoever, because it hadn't been the 6 month for me to go check in. I think we tested my blood every year, 6 months to a year, because I wasn't losing weight. So she kept me on the medication that was right for me. And when I did lose weight, I didn't think to call her and be like, hey girl, I lost 40 pounds. Should we check my blood? I just didn't think of it. So my bad. I'm not mad at the endocrinologist, because I know any of you who have like a medical history or know anything about this, maybe like, why didn't your endocrinologist change that? I'm not blaming her whatsoever. I have other doctors that all looked at my blood, and not one of them told me I was over medicated on this medication. So hospital, primary, you know what I mean? Like I'm just saying, functional medicine doctor realized it. Then I contacted the endocrinologist, got that medication down. It's still actually a little too high because I keep losing weight. So I got to call her again. But there was a lot of things wrong. I was tested positive for, like, I had mono, Epstein-Barr, something in the past. I must have, and I didn't know it. I think that's what it was called. I'm just like, I don't even have my results in front of me. These are just going off of my memory. They also said the booster is showing high inflammation markers too from the vaccine, blah, blah. So I had a lot of random shit testing where it shouldn't be. My insulin levels were higher than you would have liked to have seen. I wasn't pre-diabetic, but I was having some symptoms of pre-diabetes, like discoloration in my armpits and behind my neck. And so we know that's a sign of diabetes, but I wasn't quite there yet, but my insulin levels were high. So long story short, a lot of little things wrong or off, nothing ridiculous. My body, when he summed it up, my body had been holding on to stress for like the past 5 to 6 years. And we know that's because my two brothers passing away in 5 years. Nobody goes through 4 layoffs and 2 losses of brothers in a matter of 5 years and doesn't have a physical reaction to that. Other things had happened in those 5 years, of course, but those were the major things. And so my body, to protect itself, I assume, was holding weight like a hug. And I love me some hugs. So I'm not mad at my body. She and I have had conversations, many of them, and we have healed. We still have more healing to do. But I learned a lot about my body. And that was kind of like step one to doing it the right way this time. So I did 75 hard for the mental toughness, for the mind-body connection. I already did the spiritual work last year. You've heard all the podcasts. I'll go find a podcast about the spiritual work. But if you listen to them, you know I've done the things. I mean, the whole book, my Jack Canfield book, Unlocking Success, is all about that spiritual journey. I'll put the link to the book in here below so you can check it out. Obviously, it's an important part of my personal story and has a lot to do with the spiritual journey I was on. So I'd love for you to support me in that way. If you buy it on Amazon, DM me. The cover is different. Jack and I are not on the cover if you buy it on Amazon. If you buy it through me, I'm more than happy to just mail it to you. But you'll have to DM me on Insta or LinkedIn and just say, hey, can I get a copy of Unlocking Success? I want you on the cover. If you buy it from Amazon, if you already have bought it from Amazon and I'm not on the cover, DM me. I have new sleeves. I can send you a book cover with me and Jack on it and you can swap out the sleeves. I digress. Next. So I don't even know where I was going with that. So I did it for the mental toughness. I wanted to make changes physically and it took me 14 times to do it, but the 15th time I did it. So really what changed for me is that I trusted the timing. It felt right. It felt right this time. I did it the right way and I named it 75 done. I just wanted it. It was different this time around. It felt like it was the perfect timing. So that's pretty much like the background story. I mean, of course, emotional roller coaster of the ups and downs of doing it, not doing it, but this time was absolutely different. And you know, it's funny too. I love the fact that this is about discipline. It wasn't just about like motivation, because we all know, like, I studied motivation in college. I literally have a master's degree in motivation, and I know that you have to take the action first. I didn't need a master's degree to do that. I'm still paying off those student loans. But I know through experience with myself and with the clients I work with in business and branding and life, relationship, all the things, you have to take the action first. And then the motivation comes. But the action, where does the fire or the energy to take that action? Well, especially every single day. It takes discipline, and discipline is the one thing I realized I didn't have. So when this challenge was tied directly to increasing our discipline, I knew I had to do it, right? And so when I was talking to myself, as I often do, about how I can, like, what I need in my life, I knew it was discipline. And so it was, this became a no-brainer. And when we tied it to my book, remember I said my coach and I tied it to how I kept that promise to myself, it made me think how often we keep promises to ourselves, right? Like, how often do I keep promise? Like, how many times have I said, all right, I'm not going to spend $1 million at Starbucks this month. I'm not going to go out to eat this month. I'm not going to do whatever this week, or I'm totally doing this, and just not done it. My life, even though as successful as I am, like, trust me, I'm pretty freaking successful in life, in business, in my relationship, in my friendships. Like, I'm pretty fucking happy. Like, I would say, yes, I'm successful. Of course, there's more I want in life, but like, my vision board items, check, check, check. Like, I'm a baller at making this shit happen. And for my clients. So not only do I do it for myself, but I help my clients to do it for them, for themselves too. So, and my family and my friends, like, it's just like, it's who I am, right? All I do is win, 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 no matter what. That was a horrible rendition of that. Anywho, so I said to myself, though, I do so much in this world for, like, everybody in my circle, all the layers of my circle. Why can't I do this one thing for myself? And I remembered when I finished Own Your Awesome on LinkedIn, I remember saying, like, keeping that promise was game changing. It changed a lot for me, and the magical things that happened after I kept that promise. Oh my God. Like, the manifestations, Hawaii, the money, the bestsellers, the red carpets, blah, all the things. I was like, I'm kind of excited to see what happens when I keep this promise to myself. So notice my words, when I keep my promise, not if I keep my promise. Because when you want something as badly as I wanted this, you change your language. You change a lot, actually. And I never, never looked at it as a sacrifice. It was always a part of the process that I started to fall in love with in order to win at the end, to just win. And I did. So obviously it works. Okay. Some lessons that I've learned throughout this experience. Some little ones. I get bored a lot. I'm sure you do too, because 75 days doesn't sound like a long time. It's not even 3 months, right? Like 90 days. Oh, 3 months. That's a whole quarter. That seems like a lot, right? But it's really not. 75 is even shorter. So I thought, I'll just go for a walk every morning. And then I've got a Tonal. I've got Peloton. I've got a gym in my house. Like, I would just work out. And I got a gym membership. Hello. I would just do one of those workouts as my second one. Let me tell you, by day like 11 or 12, I was bored out of my friggin' mind. I remember walking, voxing my group who was holding me accountable. I remember saying, I'm so bored. Oh my God, if I gotta go for one more walk. But I had to do an outside workout, right? So I don't even think I got into the details of 75 hard. You got to do 2 workouts a day. One has to be outside. You have to follow a diet plan. No cheating, no alcohol. Drink a gallon of water a day without flavoring in the water. You had to take a before picture, like a full body shot of yourself, like yoga pants, sports bra, just so you can see the actual changes in your body daily. And you had to read 10 pages of personal/professional development. It couldn't be like a novel. It had to be like a growth, like a mental growth book, which I write them. Clearly I'm into them. So that it really wasn't that hard to like do these things, but the workouts had to be 45 minutes each. One had to be outside and they had to be spaced within like 3 hours, I think of itself. And so I had to like go early in the morning before work. At least I had to get one workout done. And because I started in April, I knew it was getting warmer. So I wanted the workouts to be early in the morning. So before the heat kicked in, right? And so even though April, May wasn't that bad, there were some hot days in June. So I remember one day walking and being like, this is so freaking boring. I actually remember more than being bored, I was sore. My hips and my ankles and my lower back, I was almost in like pain. I hate to be dramatic and say I was in pain from walking and working out, but like I was hurting. I was inflamed because normally by 10 days, 11, 12 days, I would have taken a day off. Like, it's ridiculous to not give your body a break, right? So this is why people were so like, eh, don't do it. I get it. But I was like, F that, I'm doing it. So, you know, I did a little Googling, you know, whatever. And then a friend of mine suggested hot yoga, and that it counted as a workout. And so I was like, does it? But it did. And not only was it yoga, but it was hot yoga. So it was a little harder because mental toughness in the hot 95 to 105 degree rooms. So I think I talked about hot yoga at one point in one of these podcasts. Maybe I'll find it. Let me write that down. Hot yoga. And if I did a podcast or mentioned it more in a podcast, I'll put it in the show notes. I also too became an influencer for Helios in Loudonville, New York. If you are in the New York area, I get to bring a guest. But I'd love to share it with you. So they gave me, so I went to this hot yoga as my friend's guest. Loved it. Felt amazing. Turns out I'm no longer flexible. So it was quite the challenge. And because they're trying to grow that studio, and it is I've been to a couple of them, and this was the nicest one I've been to, I agreed to kind of collaborate with them. So I talk about them. They give me free hot yoga. It's amazing. I've already had people joining because they're like, it is amazing. Oh my God. Like, state of the art, whole thing. This isn't a commercial. I'm just saying, I've been to other studios in my area, and this one was the cleanest and the most high tech, if you will. I know it sounds weird to say high tech, but like the lights from the ceiling, the drop down heaters, like what the hell? I was like, what is this, the future? Like, it was really cool because one of the places I went to had a plug in hot heater, and I was like, this is janky. So it was perfect. Nobody farts. It doesn't stink. It's classy and elegant and gorgeous, and I love it, and I'm never leaving. So anyway, hot yoga, Helios hot yoga studio in Loudonville. If you go, tell them I sent you. Okay, I digress. So I get bored and I was sore. I incorporated hot yoga. So I realized I had to switch it up. So from that day forward, with my group, my mastermind that was holding me accountable, we talked about every 10 days doing something different. So I incorporated dance classes, and then I incorporated my Peloton again because I wasn't using it at the time. And then I added tonal. So every 10 days I'd keep the walks. Sometimes I'd switch up the time of the day, right, depending on the weather. I kept the walks because for the outside workout, I think only twice I did an outside workout that wasn't a walk. I went in my backyard. Oh, that's true. Maybe a couple times, because once, just once, because it was crazy. I live on a hill. My backyard has two hills. It's flat, then a hill, very steep, and then flat again, and then an even steeper hill up to like my back fence. And so I love this hill. When I bought this house, nobody thought I was going to like the house, which the house was, you know, it wasn't the best, but there was two of them for sale in my town. So I grabbed one and we remodeled it. But the backyard was my favorite because I was doing my first tough mudder back then. And I was like, I will run these hills. Oh my God, these are perfect. Never did, except during 75 hard. So I actually, for 45 minutes, went up and down this hill and died. Like, it was probably the hardest workout I did this entire time. So that was pretty cool. And I was actually listening to Jesse Etzler's Living with a Seal at the time, because when I walked, I'd listen to a book. I'd also read a book, so don't come at me. I read books and I listened to them. And he talked about like hell on the hill at one point. And so I was like, oh yeah, let me do like a little baby hell on my hill. Anyway, so I got bored. I had to switch it up. So that's one lesson. Not only did I learn about my physical fitness, but also in business, right? Because you know me, how am I tying this to business? So if we are bored with our process, even if it's working, it may not work to stretch us and get the most results from it if we're mentally checked out. So if you got to switch something up in your business, in your life, workout routine, switch it up. I'm just saying. And schedule the switch up. That was actually the coolest part, because I knew around like day 7 or 8, if I was getting bored with something, I'd be like, oh, I got 2 more days of it. And then I'm going to go to this. Oh, I'm going to go to that instead. And I'd be like excited for that next thing, right? So that was cool. The second thing I learned and that I did that I think made me successful this time around is that I told some people, not all the people. even though I did tell you guys, but let's be honest, I don't have a million people listening. So, and a few of you reached out to me and I thought that was cool, but not every one of you DM'd me about doing 75 hard. So there wasn't a lot of outside input. It was just my mastermind and my coach. And then my home, obviously my husband, my daughter, my son, they all knew about it. And then it was some of the basketball moms, because I obviously, my kid plays basketball, travel ball, little baller she is, and we travel a lot. And so I think I told you in one of those previous episodes that I was packing the food with me and I had to travel for basketball, and they were like, "What? You're not coming down to drink with the moms?" And I'm like, "Oh, I can't, girl. Sorry." So they knew. So if maybe like five or six of them knew. And by like the middle and the end, they were like, "What day are we on? What day are we on? Can I go for walks with you?" I'm like, "Yep, let's go." Because I had to sometimes go for walks while she was at practice, and I'd walk the college track, you know, whatever college we were at practicing, and the moms would join me. So I thought that was really cool. So I told some people, not all the people, because not all the people want you to be successful. Right? I'm just saying, there were some people who were like, "Oh yeah, fuck that shit. I would never do that." Or, "Oh, that's hard." Or, "Oh man, yeah, I heard that's really bad actually." And I just would stop talking to those people about it, and that'd be it. And I'd be like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I heard that too. That's crazy." Mm-hmm. And I just change the subject, because not everybody wants you to succeed, not because they don't like you or love you or want what's best for you, but because it's a reflection of their own insecurities or their own, they couldn't do it themselves. So they just assume that you can't do it. But guess what? I'm not you. You're not them. We can do it. So we did. And then the third thing I did, and that I think really made the difference, is that I did this for me, not for, I put a blank line in my notes, like not for X. Like I didn't do this to lose weight. I didn't do this to get back at somebody who said I was fat. I didn't do this because somebody said I couldn't, right? I didn't do this for any outside factors. I didn't do it for the t-shirt, which, where is my t-shirt already? I didn't do it for that. I did it for me. And I may actually do a whole separate podcast about this particular little story I'm going to share, because it was so powerful. It was probably, I don't even know what day it was. It was in the middle of it, probably in the early stages of 75 Hard. And I listened to the Pep app. I'm obsessed with it. You could obviously YouTube motivational talks, but this one puts it all together. They're not a sponsor, but I'm going to have to actually reach out to them and make them sponsor me. I'm going to write that down. Sponsorship. Pep app. I'm learning a lot together. All right. So by the end of this podcast, I'm going to have like 15 to do's. So I listened to the Pep app, and they said something about, like, I don't know if it was Ed Mylett or Seal, David Goggins, who said something about at the end of your life, you're going to look at God and he's going to show you who you could have been. That's the short version of it. And I remember getting kind of teary-eyed, not because of me looking at the successful version of me with abs and heaven, but because of the phrase when they said, God says, this is who I made you to be. And I was like, oh my God. And they didn't say this in the app. This is just me connecting it to my faith and my mind spiraling, because that's what I do. I made up this whole scenario in my head where I die and I go to heaven and God says, I want you to meet someone. This is who I designed you to be. And usually in that phrase, people are all like, shit, missed opportunity. In my version of it, God said, what was more important to you on earth than who I made you to be? Sorry. I had a really hard time with that. And it's not, listen, God didn't make me, I designed you to have abs. Like, it's not that corny. But if I'm looking at him and he says, I made you to be this person, what was more important to you on earth? What was more valuable to you on earth than me? I couldn't even fathom that conversation. I may need to pause for a second. All right, I'm back. I had to pause it. I couldn't. It would have been a long 10 minutes of me crying or something. And that's not what this podcast is about. But the answer is nothing. Nothing is more important than my relationship with God. Nothing is more important to me on earth than becoming the woman, the light, the leader, the mother, the partner that He created me to be. The business owner, the coach, all that stuff is secondary, but it's still just as important. I know I'm called to be the light for other women on this earth. And if I am not doing the things I know I need to do to become that person, then what is the point? What is the point, right? And where are my abs? Okay, next topic, because I don't need this to be emotional. All right. So, I got to shake all that off. So, I relate all of this. This is what made it different for me. This is what made me achieve this. It was going deeper. It wasn't just the losing weight. It wasn't being able to cross my legs under the desk, which, okay, I do, and it's fabulous. It wasn't about tying my shoes and not having to suck in my belly because it's in the way. Like, it totally was, and it's not anymore. I'm going to say the non-scale victories are ridiculous. I've got a list of them. Maybe I'll share that in the future. There are so many things, so many challenges that came up. Let's dive into this for a second. There are so many challenges that came up because I am a mom, a sports mom, which is a whole different set of fucking to-dos. I work from home, which is oddly enough a challenge because I'm not packing my lunch every day and just taking eating what I brought with me. I travel. I live in upstate New York, so the weather's crazy. And I've got people in my life who like to party. So there are a lot of obstacles I knew ahead of time were coming. I didn't list them all out. If I was doing this perfectly, I would probably tell you, like, oh, list out everything that can get in your way. Because this is actually one of the things I do with my clients. And we talk about whether it's legit or a bullshit excuse, you know, that kind of thing. But I did it like week to week because I knew this was a long 75 days. It was going to be a long time. So I did it week to week. There were days that I was like, shit, am I going to get this all in? I remember, where was I? Oh, a basketball tournament locally, but still. I was working that day and I had a lot going on and I got one workout in and then we had to leave for basketball. I did the outdoor workout because that was always, I had to get that out of the way, 100%, because I wasn't going to walk in the super dark, right? Like, I just didn't want to. Animals, whatever. So I was coming back from a tournament. My kid's team won they won their bracket. They were the first seed, blah, 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 whatever. They made it to the championships. And so they had more games than I thought. Not that I thought they weren't going to make it to the championship, but like if they didn't, I'd have more time. The thing was, Ben and I had concert tickets. So I had bought my husband concert tickets and the concert was that night. And so I thought my son was going to go with them. He just got back from driving a long distance. He was tired. He didn't want to go. So I was definitely making sure my husband saw this band that he's obsessed with from like many years ago. They're here locally. We're going. We go to the concert. It's 10:30 at night and I have yet to work out. But he at that point was like, all right, I'm good. Like, we're old. We didn't say the whole time. And there was a big fight at this concert, so I got a little rowdy. It's like kind of like a heavy metal band. I don't know if they're considered heavy metal, but anyway, there was some moshing happening, and so people got pushed around, and I was like, we're not doing this. And he was like, yeah, I'm good. And so we left. I got home at like 10:45-ish, and I still had to do my indoor workout. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And I remember I was on the bike, and I remember he came around from the kitchen and was like, I can't believe you're doing this. Like, good for you. And I was like, thanks. And I was just like exhausted. But the thing that kept me going is that like you can watch Netflix on Peloton now. And we couldn't before. So I watched Grey's Anatomy while riding the bike. It wasn't my best workout, I'll tell you that. I did sweat though, so it still counts. So time at times was an obstacle, and I didn't give up because of it. There was actually even a workout, another indoor one, that I did. It did it at like, I ended at 11:45. So I remember thinking like, what? And I was a weight one. I was using weights this time, because I remember by the end, I was like, I'm just going to do biceps and sit on the couch. Like, I was so freaking tired. But I got a little cocky, I think, in the middle, because I was like, this is a way of life now. Like, this is how I roll. Like, I don't care what time it is, I'm getting my workout in. So you do get a little like confident in yourself, but I still, oh, you know what? I talked about front loading success right around that time, because I knew that it was becoming, my workouts were becoming later and later, and I was getting nervous that I would mess one up, or fall asleep, or forget to read my 10 pages. And so I remember at one point I finished a page, because I think it was at 11:45 night, I realized I didn't read. And I was like, oh my God. So I read the fastest I've ever read in my entire freaking life. And at like, I think at like 11:59, I freaking checked the box that I read and went to bed. And I was like, he's like, are you kidding me? You're just going to bed. I'm like, dude. There were even some nights that I brought the water bottle to bed with me. And my husband would be like, oh, it's going to be a rough night for you. And I'm like, I know, I'm going to be up all night peeing. I'm going to find the episode where I talk about front loading, because that's a good one. Because that's when I realized that I needed to front load my success. And I changed my ways and I started doing everything because it was my priority, right? Like, this became my priority. And so I front loaded everything at that point and just got it done as early as possible. Even though the workouts had to be a certain amount of time separated, I got like everything in except that second workout, and I would do that. Or if I did my first workout at like 6 a.m., I could do the next one at like 10, 11 o'clock, and I was totally fine. So yeah, front loading definitely makes a difference. All right, there are other crazy things. Like I said, the weather. Like, I walked in with an umbrella a couple times. Like, side raining, soaking wet feet. Like, people are driving by me like, do you need a ride? I'm like, I'm good, thank you. 75 hard, still going. There were times, I think in one of the episodes that I mentioned about it being an inconvenience. And let me tell you, I was excited to be inconvenienced because I wanted to win. I knew I'd be tested a lot, and I was tested a lot, especially around food. So the first couple of tournaments, I packed my own meals because I was so new and I was nervous that I'd mess it up somehow. So I packed my own food and I ate accordingly, and it was perfect, and I lost weight and it was great. As the 75 challenge, as the days started to progress, I got more confident in being able to select food from anywhere I was. No matter what, whether one day I went to a restaurant and I just had lettuce and grilled chicken because there was zero friggin' options. Well, one time we were traveling and there was literally no options because the grilled chicken was not grilled, or they didn't have the option, or it was deep fried. It was just like, what the? I couldn't eat at this restaurant. So I actually left the restaurant and made my husband drive me to a salad place that was like, I think it was actually just right across the street. And I ended up like bringing that salad to that restaurant, and I didn't give a shit. I didn't give a fuck if they were telling me, oh, you can't bring your outside food. Cool. I'll eat in the car. You guys eat. I'll be in when I'm done eating. Like, I just didn't care anymore because this was happening. I was not stopping. So, you know, changing restaurants, or when somebody says like, what do you want to eat? I'm like, oh, hold, please. Let me look the restaurant. Cause there was a restaurant, like I said, that there was a couple times these restaurants didn't have options for me. Like, there was one Italian restaurant we went to like twice sporadically, didn't have one gluten-free option. I was like, what the fuck? And they wouldn't not put salad on the dressing on the salad. It was so weird. And I was like, you can't just bring me a salad without dressing. And they're like, no, it comes with it on. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, this is the, and it was a nice restaurant. I was like, whatever, dude. So like, I realized I had to not give a shit. And I had to not care about being inconvenienced, looking stupid, or inconveniencing somebody else. And often I would just say, listen, I have an allergy, I can't. And they'd be like, yeah, we don't have an option for you. And I was like, okay, cool. I won't eat. And I'd drink water, or, you know, hot tea or something. And I, of course, it was really uncomfortable for my family, I'm sure, at that one place, for me not to be eating when they were eating. But they got it. They were like, listen, good for you. Well, after this, we'll go get you something. I'm like, yep, absolutely. Because I didn't realize. That's when I started checking restaurants ahead of time. But I had to treat this as if it was like a medical condition, because you know what? If I didn't get healthy, I was going to have bigger medical issues and they would become actual issues. And so I did this for myself. So being inconvenienced and inconveniencing others, I wasn't rude about it. I was a little annoyed about the salad dressing situation, but I was never rude. I was like, oh my gosh, no problem. I totally get it. It's a me thing. Thank you. Serve them whatever they want. It's going to be delicious. I'm going to be so jealous. And like, people were usually pretty kind, you know, and it wasn't a big deal. Or if I asked for a deviation of a menu, most people would be like, yeah, no problem. Like, sorry, I put cheese on that. Let me go get it. Whatever. The one restaurant, they had this delicious soup. I wanted it so bad. And they're like, actually, it's gluten-free. I was like, are you sure? And somebody was like, yeah, one of the cooks can't have gluten. And this is what he eats all the time. I made him like confirm it. And I was like, thank you so much. So it's like some people really did want to, they weren't inconvenienced. And I think that's a huge mindset for women, that you're not bothering people by asking for what you want. I think I'm going to make that a different episode. You're not. I get all the ideas. You're not bothering people by asking for what you want. Sometimes, A, it's their job to give you what you are asking for. And sometimes, especially if you say it in a really nice way and you come with really good energy, they're happy to help you. And I'm a big tipper. So I'm just saying, it was always worth it for them. All right. So what's next, right? Like, what happens next? Of course, I've learned the lessons. I'm tying it all to business. One last lesson I actually learned is that I can do anything I truly desire. And that was the difference for me, is the truly part. Because I didn't truly desire this back in 2021, or I would have done it back then. But I did today. I did truly desire this. And I involved God. I got the support I needed through my mastermind, and through even my clients were supporting me. Even though they pay me to support them, they were often like, what day are you on? How are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. You know, so it was really cool to see that support from that level as well. And trusting myself, right? Like, if I trust myself if I call it done, like, it's, if I realize that it's already been done and that this is just me proving it, it became so much easier. So what's next? How am I celebrating, right? Like, let's wrap this up, because this is the longest podcast I've ever done. I don't even know if I can email it to myself. All right. How am I celebrating? Well, I did something fantastic that I'm so excited about. A couple things. One, my husband bought me the Aura ring. So that was kind of cool. So that was kind of like midway. It was like a gift for Mother's Day. It wasn't really a celebration, but I'm starting to like look into items that will support my journey. So I'm probably going to get like a mixer or a juicer so I can start drinking the celery juice, like stuff like that. The biggest thing I did for myself though was buy, a ticket to go see my spiritual guru, David Guillaume. He is my Kabbalah teacher. I'm going to see him in Manhattan in September. So that's actually really exciting. So that was the big gift for myself, is that I bought the VIP ticket. It was on sale. I saw it come up maybe like a month ago. And I knew that that would be my gift to myself. So thank God that I finished this challenge, because I wasn't returning that ticket. Obviously, I've been buying clothes along the way, just celebrating the new body I'm in. And I'm sure I'll probably do something else physical. I haven't really decided quite yet. Maybe sneakers, right? I got a couple new sports bras, which was pretty cool. But like, the biggest thing to celebrate this is to keep going. Like, that's how I'm going to celebrate my success. Oh, in a photo shoot. Oh my gosh, my girl Lorraine. Dollface Photos. She gifted me a photo shoot for finishing 75 hard. So I'll do a photo shoot. I'll do the, obviously I'm going to LA again in September. So I bought the coolest dress. Actually, there's two dresses I think I'm going to buy. So just like things. Oh, and I also went shopping in my storage. I have a storage unit with bins of clothes that I'll get into someday. And I kept them. And so now I can fit into them. There's actually a bin I can't fit into yet, but I'll get there. But like, shopping in my own closet, it's hilarious, because it's like, oh, I finally fit into this. That's exciting. So All right, so that's how I'm celebrating. And what's next? Well, what's next is that I just carry this momentum on with me, because I'm seeing what happens when we keep promises to ourselves and how it translates into building my brand, increasing my visibility, showing up for myself and for my clients. I mean, I now can take everything I'm learning and teach it and pay it forward to those who also have goals. There have been a few women who have thought, wow, I think I should do 75 hard, or, you know, can you help me? Absolutely. I do not charge to hold you accountable to 75 hard. If that's your goal, like, just DM me. We'll shoot messages back and forth. But if you want me to actually coach you something beyond 75 hard, like in business or just a private one-on-one coaching, and we can include this in it, I'm happy to send you some, you know, some of my programs and package sizes. I've got a mastermind coming up. We're going to start the end of July. And what I've done is actually, instead of, most people just pay up front, right? That in the past, when I've done masterminds, it's been, you know, whatever the cost was, they paid it up front and you're good. This one is a little bigger because there's a lot more involved. And I will probably do a whole separate mastermind podcast, so you can hear what's included. But this is for women who are in business who want to be highly visible, because there's going to be opportunities that you would normally have to pay for, like getting on somebody's stage, being interviewed on live on their shows, maybe getting on a podcast, like getting your brand laid out, getting your LinkedIn leveled up. Like, these are things that you would pay for individually that could cost $10,000 or more. For a fraction of that, I'm inviting you into a mastermind. If you are a woman business owner and want to be done playing small, I'm taking everything I learned, of course, from 75 hard, but myself personally, self-leadership, visibility, I'm rolling it all into this one mega mind, if you will. Actually, I may change that. I may change the mastermind to mega mind, but like it's literally, I have two women that said yes already and paid for it. And they're like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm actually finding a way to pay for this because I could never afford it otherwise, because you're making it such a deal, which makes me want to like raise the prices, but I'm not gonna. So I'm taking all of this with me, and I'd love to take you with me too. So if you're interested, you want more information on the mastermind, what that actually includes, the dates, all that good stuff, like shoot me a DM. I'm happy to, if you're on my email list too, you'll start getting some information. But I'm going to close the doors pretty quickly because I'm only taking five and I've got two already. Actually, I have two and a half. I'm just waiting for the one person to, if she pays her deposit, then she's in. So technically I have three, so there's two spots left, but I'm still open. If God brings me six people, I'm not going to say no to you, but I'm just saying, if you're interested in having the type of results that you've been hearing me speak about, not just in 75 hard, because that was a tool. That's not my business. That was a tool that's going to help me level up my business. If you want to be a part of the magic that I've created in my life in the last 5 years as a business owner, red carpets, TV spots, podcast interviews, major stages, like best-selling books, like if you want this or something similar. You want to write a book, you want to start a podcast, you want to get on stages and finally hash out your keynotes and what they look like. I just came up with three keynote topics for a client of mine, and she wants to be a speaker. She's never done it before. We went through her entire life's journey, personal and professional, and pulled out three pivotal moments that are now going to be her keynotes. And we're going to start to hash those out, and I'm going to help her get on stage and share the biggest message she has for herself. It's what I do. This is that conversation I had with God during that visualization that I got a little emotional about earlier. This is what I was put on earth to do, to help you get clear about your calling, what your gifts are, how you're meant to shine a light on them, what platform it looks like, it feels right for you, help you expand and elevate your message and get it out to the most amount of people to be able to hit all your goals, dreams, and desires. It's what I do. It's why I'm here on this earth, and I want to help you to achieve your why, your reason, and your results. All right, friends, this was officially an hour-long podcast. Holy crap. It may be my longest one to date. Thank you so much for spending your time with me, whether it was all at once or broken up into segments. It doesn't matter. Thank you. I love you. I appreciate you. And until next time, keep being awesome.